Welcome to the Mom's Day Bunker with Carrie Henson. In the bunker, you will find joy, grief, laughter, and remembrance. It is a safe place for moms to gather during the storms of motherhood, to share stories and to encourage each other as we navigate doomsday moments that change the trajectory of our path as women. Our stories contain difficult subjects that may be triggering for some listeners. These are real stories from real moms that are surviving, have survived, and are thriving after the unthinkable happened. Please take care of your mama heart as we cozy up together, take shelter from the world, and begin. So I want to start with how we met. I had taken a long-term sub position for a theater teacher, for a friend of mine who was on maternity leave. And I had a tech theater class with the cutest, shyest, quietest young lady, a freshman. And I'm really good at engaging my students very quickly. And I have this thing that I do at the end of all my classes, and I have a trivia. Mm-hmm. And they get to pick out candy from the trivia bag if they get it. Now, I do it with all ages, but the high school kids are like ruthless, right? And they're like, I want that candy. Like, they can't go get candy now that they're teenagers. But they, you know, this is a competitive nature. And so I was doing these trivias and And one day, about 3 weeks in, I was not prepared for my trivia question. So I had to come up with something on the fly. And my question was, what is my favorite musical? Well, of course, you know, they were all just like, what? That's not fair. We don't know. It's like, what's my favorite musical? And nobody guessed it. But the next day, your daughter, Victoria, came in and she talked to me for the first time. Beyond saying here or present, you know, and she said, Miss Henson, have you ever seen Wicked? I said, yes, I have seen Wicked. I got to see it on Broadway. And I told her my whole story. And it kind of opened up this this door to her, like gave her permission to start talking to me. And I didn't know her. I didn't know anything about her. I'm getting to know these students. But towards maybe a couple of weeks later, I started looking at her grades and I realized, oh, wow, because she was failing theater. She was failing all her classes. And I thought, oh, something's going on here. So I called you and I said, hey, this is Miss Henson, and I have your daughter in class, and I'm really concerned. She's so sweet. What's going on? And then you told me what was going on.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I've got to wrap my arms around her. I know. There was just a lot of energy pull to her anyways.
Yeah.
But then once I knew the story,
yeah,
it was like, oh, wow. I'm so glad I give her candy.
Yes.
And I would just be like, Victoria, you want to get a piece? She's like, yeah.
Yes.
So that's my side of how I got to meet you and I got to know Victoria and one of your, she's your oldest.
Yes, she is.
But I would love for you to tell me about that time.
Yes. Thank you, Carrie. So I really appreciate you just allow me to tell this story. And during that time when you met her, it was just so fresh. It was so fresh. And I'm telling you, the phone call really meant a lot to me.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And, you know, it was one of those things to where your life changes literally overnight. And at that point, you know, she had just lost her brother.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, they were about 19, I think about 19 years apart. I'm 19 years, 19 months apart. So she was very close to him. Very close to him. So during the pandemic, you know, it's, you know, we were in the pandemic at that time. And then she had to transition back to school. And that's around the time that you met her.
And that school year, for people who maybe don't have kids that were in school at that time, or you're not in education, that was the most difficult school year for any child under the best of circumstances. The going into 2020, 2021. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I met Victoria. I met them at March of 2021 through the end of the school year, right? Mm-hmm. It was so difficult mm-hmm. for these kids. Half of them were virtual. Half of them were in person. Some of them would go from virtual to in person. Mm-hmm. Everyone was in masks. No one was allowed to sit near each other in the lunchroom. There was to be no social. And these are teenagers. I'm not even talking about the little ones. That's a whole nother conversation. Mm-hmm. These teenagers were expected to go through this pandemic under laws and regulations that the adults felt at the time were the best practices to protect these kids. They had no control. They had no say-so. They were scared. Some of them were angry. Some of them were, you know, complacent about the whole thing.
Yes.
But it was a very stressful and difficult time in and of itself.
Yes.
And and you ask any teacher and they're going to tell you, like, this was astronomically one of probably the worst things that could have happened to the two school aged children.
Yeah.
And then you add in this layer of trauma that your family's going through.
Yes.
And then you add on the layer of the academic pressures. You have to pass these classes. You have to do this. Or you're not going to move on. You're not going to do this. And then you have the layer of social pressures as a young teenage girl.
Yes.
There was a lot going on in her life. But I also, my heart bleeds for you as a mom.
Yeah.
Because you had to watch this and deal with the grief of your son.
Yes. And a lot of disappointments, a lot of milestones that will not take place. And I just have to say, from a mom's perspective, to be raw, it was a hard journey.
Oh, yeah.
However, I don't know if you could say it's a blessing, but it gave us the privacy. The whole pandemic gave us the privacy to grieve without expectations, you know, dealing with the expectations or the misunderstandings that may come with, you know, not having a regular burial, not having a regular service. A lot of the things that people would normally do, you know, after losing someone, you know, after someone dies, that wasn't really an option because our families kind of spread out. And then also the fact that, you know, with the pandemic, we were pretty much it was escalating. And so, you know, there were family members who were like, well, I'm not going to be able to come if you have something. And I was like, you know what? It's fine. It's really fine. We have to do it the way it needs to be done. And that meant take the pressure off.
What was your son's name?
Uriah.
Uriah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. What was he like?
Oh my goodness. He was the middle child. He was the peacemaker, but he was also very animated, very gifted. One of the funny things that we talk about all the time is how he loved the Pink Panther theme song.
Oh, yeah.
And so he would play that at almost, I think every time he did a talent show, that was his song.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes. And so we're like, okay, Uriah, what are you going to do this year? Pink Panther. I'm like, oh, okay. And we were able to get it on video and everything. So it was just a lot of good things, a lot of good memories. And I've just chosen not to stay stuck, but to really cherish those good memories. And we, all of us, we just laugh at those moments and that just really bring us joy and peace. So,
Can you share with us what happened with Uriah?
Sure. So he had been diagnosed with asthma when I think he was around 2 years old. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's been under doctor's care for years. But for some particular reason, back in, I'd say maybe 2019 is when we started seeing a little bit more of his asthmatic episodes. And so, you know, he had finished the school year, the last week of school of 2020, May of 2020. I just let him binge on snacks. And if he wanted to, you know, watch TV, he could watch TV. He was done with school. He just was really struggling. He was just really struggling and
struggling to breathe.
And so we did breathing treatments. We did everything. And it just came to that decision. He's like, Mom. And we just made sure we got him to the emergency room. But he struggled and he stabilized. But then his body was just tired.
And so he's at home.
Yeah.
Y'all have wrapped up the virtual schooling at that point, because March through May, they made everyone stay home.
Correct.
And that was in and of itself kind of a cluster, mm-hmm. right? Because schools mm-hmm. were trying to figure it out.
Yes.
He's having asthma. His inhalers aren't working.
Yes.
The breathing treatments aren't working.
Correct.
It's time to go to the ER.
Yep.
So you take him into the ER mm-hmm. and walk me through that day.
It was actually at nighttime. Throughout the day, we tried the breathing treatments. But by the time it got to a certain point, we were just like, he's got to go in. And it's not the first time he's been to the ER mm-hmm. or urgent care. But, you know, you go in thinking that, oh, you know.
It's another round.
It's another round.
Yeah.
But this round looked different. And, you know, when your child is hooked up to a machine and.
Did they have to intubate him?
No.
No.
No. But he did have to be transferred to a different hospital because they didn't have the pediatric care that he needed. But he was stabilized enough to where they transported him. But even by the time we got there, it was just. He was struggling, and he did flatline. They brought him back, but it was just to the point to where he was just His body was tired, and I had to release that when the Lord spoke to me and said, "Niambi, he's with me." And, you know, you're like, this isn't how I expected it to be. I did not expect to leave the hospital with my child.
Did you ever have a doctor warn you or prepare you that this might happen?
No.
Did you ever have a thought in your mind that asthma...
I think in the back of my mind, it may have crossed my mind, and I tried to communicate to him the importance of being prepared.
Prepared for asthma? Prepared
yeah,
for...
Yeah, just have his inhaler on him, mm-hmm. making sure that, you know, he's taking some responsibility. And I know he's a child. Because he was 12 years old at the time. But he was a pretty responsible kid. But not putting all the pressure on him, but just letting him know, hey, this is something that you really need to pay attention to. You really need to pay attention to. But I didn't want to scare him either, you know?
Right.
And I didn't want to put all that pressure on him saying, hey, you know, this can happen if you don't do this. I think that mama's heart just trying to protect him in a certain way.
Absolutely. So you have Victoria mm-hmm. and then you have Uriah and you have one more, right?
Yes, I do. I have Angelica. She's
Angelica,
the youngest. Yes.
She's the baby.
Yes, she is.
Where were the sisters during this time?
So we were all at home. So they saw some of what was going on. But of course, when we got to the hospital, they weren't, well, at the time, they would only let one person in.
Right. Cause we're talking COVID. I mean, we're talking crazy town COVID.
Right.
I mean, this isn't like COVID now. I mean, it's crazy town COVID. It's just 2 months after everything hit the news and people are buying up toilet paper and, you know.
Yes. All the craziness.
It's crazy.
Yes, exactly. All the
so
craziness.
So your husband, his dad wasn't with them. Your husband wasn't with them. Like the girls had to stay home.
Yeah.
And it was just a routine. All right. We got to go to the ER and get some, you know, get some help. And you come home. What does that, I mean, how do you even go home? Like, how does that, I'm trying to wrap my head around this process in the most stressful time of our history, at least our generation's history.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knows what they're doing.
Yes.
Medical community's turned upside down.
Yes.
The world is turning upside down seemingly at this time.
Yes.
How did you get through getting home in the next couple of days?
Yes. So just to back up just a little bit, my husband and the girls, we were all at the hospital when he passed.
Okay.
But my husband was with the girls, and we did have a couple of family members that were there. And of course, like the social worker and everyone. But I gave the girls the opportunity to say goodbye to him, but they chose not to.
Okay.
And it probably was an opportunity for them to remember him as he was, you know? And like I said, walking out of the hospital was kind of like a shock, but I felt like I was on autopilot. You know, you get in the SUV and you arrive home, and it felt like, the only thing I can relate it to of what I've heard about is like being an empty nester where the house was just so quiet. Whereas just the day before, you know, you have three kids, and we know that the noise level with three kids is totally different, you know? And it felt like an empty house. It sounded like an empty house. Everybody was just in shock that he wasn't there. And even just having to let other people know, my family knew, but letting other people know, his teachers, his best friend, his, you know, having to pick up a phone that felt like a brick, trying to string sentences together while you're staring at a screen to let principals know and these key teachers know that he's not here anymore. And it's the last day of school. He passed on the last day of school. So it's the next day. Trying to find the strength and the energy with tears running down your face and trying to just type one more sentence. And actually
just
a long...
take a breath.
Yeah. And actually, you know, then you have to go into preparation mode because, you know, you've got arrangements to...
You have arrangements to make.
Yeah. So it wasn't...
Did you have someone walk y'all through that? I mean, I don't think, and I've been honored to speak with a lot of moms on this topic.
Mm-hmm.
And not one of them has said, I knew exactly what to do to bury a child.
You know, you get some guidance from, you know, the funeral home or a social worker, or if you're considering, you know, donating, you know, organs or whatever to someone, you get those kind of directions. But You're right. For the most part, no one tells you. A lot of this, I mean, I felt like I skipped over steps that people would normally do. But when you're just in that mode, you have to get stuff done. So it's kind of like your adrenaline kicks in and you're just, you know, you have to put your feelings aside for a moment to get things done. It's kind of like that mama mode, you know, you just got to get it done.
Yeah. You don't have a choice.
You don't have a choice.
You don't have a choice. And so when Victoria came into my life and then I made that phone call and I got to meet you, mm-hmm. I guess at the time it didn't really weigh on me that we were approaching the 1 year anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so powerful.
And your body lets you know.
Talk to me about that.
Your body lets you know when those dates are coming. What I found is I just felt off. I felt off. The grief would come back. You know, some triggers would happen, you know, and with grief, it comes and goes. It can be so unexpected. And so you may find yourself at a place and you're just like, whoa, wait a second, where did that come from? You know? And then I had to realize that it was so important for me to feel what I was feeling unapologetically. Oh, I can't even say the word.
Okay. I don't say words right either half the time. You know, I'll tell you a funny story. This is, I don't want to interrupt you, but
no, this, you're good.
I had someone one time asked me to direct this little skit, right? Uh-huh. This little skit. Mm-hmm. And the skit was supposed to take place at the Louvre.
Okay. Right, yes.
And I kept calling it the Louvre.
Yeah. Yes.
And these buttheads let me say Louvre for like four rehearsals before someone, and they're all snickering. And I'm like, why are they laughing? Do I have spinach in my teeth? Like, what's happening here? Yeah. They're like, it's called the Louvre. And I was like, oh, what a bunch of buttheads. So unapologetically,
thank you.
I do not care how you say that word.
I appreciate you. And the only reason why I know how to say the Louvre is because I was in French class.
Awesome. Yeah.
And I was able actually to walk through it. So it was pretty cool.
Did you go?
I actually
did. Shut up.
And it was a lot of paintings. And a lot of paintings and a lot of floors. Yes. And it was really interesting. But I tell you what, I would love to go back again because I would really, really appreciate it much more.
Probably.
Than when I was 17.
Than when you're 17. The old wisdom comes with age thing.
Exactly. Oh,
I am so jealous. I've never been to France. I've always wanted to go to France.
Really, really cool.
That
really
is cool experience. So cool. Oh, oh man. All right. We derailed, but that's okay because we needed a laugh.
Yes.
Sometimes we gotta laugh to like release the...
Yes.
The heaviness. Your body starts to tense and your nervous system kind of starts going, oh, where are we going with this?
Yes.
And then we stumble on our words and we have a good laugh. So
yes.
All right. Unapologetically, because I like where you're going with this because I've done a lot of trauma work in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And your body does keep the score. So if you've ever read that book, The Body Keeps the Score, is an incredible book, and your body will hold on to this trauma, and it will remind you of those dates, and it will remind you when you hear something, or if we played the Pink Panther theme song, or, you know, his favorite color pops up, and it's incredible what the mind and the body and the spirit can do.
Mm-hmm.
For the good or for the bad, you know?
Yes.
So walk me through your journey with this because I feel like you've had a lot of opportunity to release some of this trauma. Correct me if I'm wrong, but just from what I've been hearing in our conversations, you've honestly, in my opinion, at lightning speed with the help of, whatever existential, you know, people that you use, like you've been able to release the trauma of this quickly.
Yes.
We're only, well, it'll be 4 years in May.
Correct.
Right. I don't know. I mean, you tell me. I've been very, very, very lucky. It is not lost on me how lucky I am to have my kids because I've almost lost two of them.
Wow. Yeah.
And I mean, they were knocking on death's door, and it's a miracle that they're alive. So it's not lost on me that I have my children, but the trauma in the body, that's something, man. I mean, it's something, okay? I'm not an expert, but you tell me, walk me through that.
So it was about in July or August, I was trying to figure out what I needed to do. And at first I was thinking about helping my girls. That was like the first thing. But then what I did was I just looked at the resources that I was, you know, that were available to me, what the hospital provided, and then just started Googling and seeing what was out there. And I looked at several different options. I had several different options going on at the same time, but I had to get the therapy and the counseling that I needed. I signed up for them, but I was also signing up for myself. So I did a group therapy. I did a smaller group, and then I did a deeper dive and did a one-on-one for me. Mm-hmm. And then my girls have continued to go through a journey. And because of my faith in the Lord and different ministries and mentors and friends and family and school district, you know, the school district, as far as like the teachers and the community who rallied around me, the support system, that's the bottom line. The support system is what helped me to get through.
How is your healing journey going right now? What are you looking forward to a year from now?
Actually, I'm excited. I am trauma-free.
Okay. That's a bold statement.
Yeah, I am trauma-free. But I did the work, the very, very hard work. And I don't, everybody has their own journey. Everybody walks through it differently. But for what I have seen the Lord do in my life, I've been able to let go. I've been able to have joy again. I've been able to have peace again. And I just walked through publishing a book with other authors. We did an anthology book that we just released. So I'm looking and I'm expecting.
So
go ahead.
Writing is one of the ways that you helped process this?
Yes. Yeah. I did a lot of journaling. 100%.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I did a lot of journaling.
And just for informational purposes for moms who are grieving, who are going through similar things, the group therapy, was that like a grief share therapy? Mm-hmm. And then the individual therapy, did they use any specific types of therapy, or was it more CBT, talk therapy, getting to the root?
It was, you know, it was such an eclectic time. And, you know, people have to, you know, whatever is available in their specific area. But yeah, I did some CBT, did a timeline of just different events, whether good or bad. And it, some of it was Christian-based, some of it wasn't. The majority of it wasn't, but I also had mentors that just checked in on me to see how I was feeling. And I had a safe place to be able to share. I was able to share. I was able to journal. I was able to just put a lot of things down on paper and to really say, you know what? Grief is not going to be my portion. I'm going to move through it. I'm not going to stay stuck. It was almost like I had to make up my mind. But there was a lot of work that had to be done before I even got to that point.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Before I get to that point, I have to be able to cry and be angry and, you know, be okay with not being okay.
Yeah. Do you think there will be times like around anniversaries that the grief will revisit you?
It might try to revisit me, but I've commanded the grief to go. I've taken authority over it. Let me say that again. I have taken authority over it because I choose to live a life of joy. And what one of the reasons why I do that, one of the places that my girls were going to, I saw this woman who just lit up. She had joy. She lost her only son. And I was like, wow. That always stuck with me. And I think in the back of my mind, I was like, that's going to be me one day. I'm going to be helping others, but I'm not going to let grief define me. I'm not going to let it rule over me. I'm going to take authority over it, and I'm moving forward.
Like a boss. Niami, I have goosebumps. I have goosebumps listening to you. I mean, this is no holds BS that you're making a statement and you mean it. Like, I don't know. I think sometimes it's hard with podcasts and recording and you're only hearing a voice, but I'm in the room with you and I'm like, the energy and I mean the goosebumps and like, this is it. This is your life. You're an example for your children.
Mm-hmm.
You're an example to others, to other moms.
Yes.
And you're saying, I can't stay in this place.
Mm-mm.
It's okay that I felt it.
Right.
It's okay that I went through it.
Right.
I'm proud of you for pushing through it and getting doing the work is hard. The hardest part is the work. And I liking it to losing weight or joining CrossFit. Like you don't want to go do CrossFit.
Right. Right.
Who cares? It's just an extra 20 pounds. It keeps you warm in the wintertime. You don't want to lose the 20 pounds. But you go and you work out one day at a time and it sucks at first and it's hard and you're sore and you're cursing everybody. And then all of a sudden you feel good.
In 1 second at a time.
Yeah.
I had to take it 1 second at a time. Not even 1 minute.
Yeah.
But then you kind of build your stamina.
Yeah.
You build your stamina and then you're like, wait a minute.
Wow.
I'm not staying here. But like you said, it was a lot of work. It was a lot of work.
Hard work.
Yes. And I don't want moms to think that I'm just taking it lightly of what they've been through. I've been through much more than we even have time to talk about.
Yeah.
But the Lord has been faithful and I choose to win. I choose to win. So wherever our mom might be, it's okay. It's totally okay to be there.
Yeah.
But just remember that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And that you'll get to a point if you don't faint, if you don't give up, that you will see the light at the end of the tunnel. You'll see the light at the horizon. One of the most amazing things that I experienced is when my son Uriah passed away. When I turned around to look out the hospital window, the most gorgeous sunrise was in front of me. And I felt the peace of God. And I was like, wow. Not saying, I mean, I was still in shock, but I had such peace. And that sunrise has just stuck with me. I value sunrises and sunsets much more than I did before. But mama, wherever you are, just remember, wherever you are, just take it 1 second at a time.
1 second at a time. 1 second. I like that. I like that a lot. It's such a testament to who you are. And I believe that every step you've taken in your life from birth leads you to the point you are right now, right here. And all those steps, you're not always walking on velvet red carpets.
That's right.
You're walking on hot coals and broken glass.
Yes.
It's not always like the soft fern grass.
Mm-mm.
You know, there are hard moments in our lives that lead us to the point where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a true testament to who you are to know that you've been through this whole life and here you are standing and you're taking authority.
Yeah.
I mean, that's powerful. That's a powerful language. I'm taking authority over this.
Yes.
That's a huge statement. And
I
think it is also going to be very encouraging to a lot of moms out there who, you know, maybe they're only 6 months into their grief. Maybe they're 60 years into, I don't know.
Right.
You know, there's no timeline on grief.
Right. And right? You can still have authority even when you're walking through hard stuff.
Yeah.
And I think people need to remember that, that even if you're still walking through hard stuff, you know, I've been a caregiver before for my dad. And I was still walking through that when Uriah died. So, you know, it's
so many layers.
Yeah, it's so many layers. So it's so important to remember that you can still take authority.
So many layers.
Even walking through hard stuff.
Your dad's going through it. Your son passes.
Mm-hmm.
You watch your daughters go through this process.
Mm-hmm.
How was the baby? I know how Victoria was because I'm a little more familiar with her story, mm-hmm. but how is she handling everything?
I'll just say it was really, really, really a struggle for her. Those two were 11 months apart, her and her brother. And so...
Wait, it was girl. Yeah. You had boom, boom, boom.
Exactly.
You had Victoria, 19 months. Next one, 11 months. Next one.
Yeah.
You're crazy. That's why you're standing up here acting like
yes.
I'm taking authority because you had three. You had three under three.
Yes.
Is that right? Am I doing the math right?
Yes. But on top of that, I miscarried three times before Victoria.
Oh my goodness. Shut the front door.
Yes.
So you had three miscarriages. You have three baby angels.
Yes.
And then you had three in a row.
Yes. And then my fourth one joined the other three.
Wow.
So when I say that sometimes, you know, moms, we go through suffering and heartache and just hard stuff. And a lot of people don't even know. A lot of people don't even know.
They never know because we don't share as much as because we're told not to.
Right.
We're told to be perfect. We're mm-hmm. told to be quiet. We're told to be feminine. This is what feminine is, right? Feminine is shut your mouth. Feminine is don't let anyone else see your pain. Feminine is you carry the pain yourself for everyone else and make them feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not, well, that's not what the bunker is. The Mom's Day bunker is not that. The Mom's Day bunker is lay it on the table.
Yeah.
Because there are other moms that are listening right now that are like, I hear you. I feel you. And I'm inspired by you. And I'm upset and I'm angry and I'm remembering and I'm joyful and I'm laughing with you. And you go outside of this bunker and you're in the real world.
Right.
And the real world expectations of a mom just don't line up with the reality.
They do not.
And it's hard.
It is. And everybody's moving on with their life, but you feel stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I had to decide, you know what? I've had my pain. I've gone through it. But then I had to decide, am I going to stay here? Or am I going to move forward? But the good thing is that I've seen the growth in the girls. I've seen the growth in myself. We can laugh. We can talk. We can remember those wonderful times with him. And sometimes I'll just see those little glimpses of him in them, you know, because of their mannerisms and, you know, so.
Yeah, there's a huge difference in Victoria.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
There's a huge difference.
Exactly.
She is a joy. She is a sweet child.
Thank you.
It's not lost on me how hard it is. And I'm not in it for the glory of me. I've got my book.
Yeah, right.
You know, I've got my shining personality.
Yes, you know? Yes, yes.
I'm in it to honor the journey of others because I didn't have, like, I'm an external processor
mm-hmm.
and everything's, it's got to come out of me, right?
Yeah, right.
And outside of Facebook, which isn't the healthiest of places, I had nowhere to go. I didn't know what to do with all this.
Yeah.
emotion.
Right.
Right.
Right. And so, it's so much.
And there's no books. There's not like a how-to book. How to go through the shit of life for dummies, you know, how to deal with motherhood trauma, how to, you know, there's nothing out there that, even when I was in the hospital, and I had heard neuroblastoma for the first time, it took me a while to get that word wrapped around my tongue, neuroblastoma. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a book specific to neuroblastoma.
Yeah.
There wasn't a book published of other parents who are saying this was our journey. This mm-hmm. is what we wished we would have done. Or
yeah.
There was nothing. And when Hank got hit by that car, I thought, here I go again. I have no place to go. I have no one I don't know anyone whose kid got hit by a car. I can't talk to them. I don't know what to do outside of my own brain,
yeah.
which is a foggy place sometimes.
Yeah.
And so for Mom's Day Bunker, I want this, I'm hoping that this will be an outlet for that mom who just was delivered an atomic bomb.
Yes.
Because the fallout of an atomic bomb is forever. How you deal with the fallout mm-hmm. is up to you.
Right.
But you cannot have your life before and after. Before the bomb and after the bomb is two different lives.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How do you become reborn when you're 44? Like I'm 44.
Mm-hmm.
I was 43 when Hank got hit by that car. How do I have a new life at 43 years old because I'm never going to go back before that moment? It's never going to happen. And I'm learning from you, from the dozen plus moms I've talked to so far.
Mm-hmm.
There are moments of pure joy.
Mm-hmm.
There are moments of hope.
Mm-hmm.
There are moments of you can do this, persevere, you can, you will get through it.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that change is not always bad.
Right.
So I, you know, this is to honor you, but I just wish I could have read a book or listened to a podcast that had any inkling of what I was going through in 2015, and then again in 2017, mm-hmm. and then again in 2019, and then again in 2023. There just wasn't anything there.
Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we, like you said, you know, you have this big bomb that goes off, and it would, I definitely am inspired by other people's stories. Any kind of information that can help me get through something, I agree. At that time, all I had was the Lord to just walk me through. There was times to where, even today, I'll be like, okay, just one step, Naomi, just one step. I can do all, and I'm saying it, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, and just take it one step at a time. The hard stuff. You know, you get stuck in the mud, like literally get stuck in the mud. Your tires are stuck in the mud. And it's like, okay, what's the next step? And that's what I really had to do, is just say, okay, what's the next step? What do I need to do next? Because I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Well, my hope is that through these conversations, we're going to empower moms to know what to do in a Mom's Day moment, and
yes.
also prepare for the Mom's Day moment. You could not have prepared for what was going to happen. I could not have prepared for this. These are things that are out of our control.
Right.
We can prepare for, you know, school supplies. Like, we know how to do that.
Right, right.
But you can't prepare for these Mom's Day moments. And then I thought to myself, well, what if we could?
Right.
What if there was a formula that we created that would help moms in a Mom's Day moment. And so I've listed out six categories that I've really just jumped into. And you have so beautifully in this conversation already talked about a lot of them. And I want to kind of just go through them piece by piece and just kind of get your wisdom on it. Okay.
Okay.
So there's what was before, what was during, and what is now. Right? And that first thing is community.
Yes.
Tell me, and you touched on community. I mean, that community really helped you. They were there for you, the school district, the teachers, the, you know, all these beautiful friends, family members that stepped in. What are your thoughts on community in a Mom's Day moment?
It is essential. When you have that support, and yes, there are those times to where, you know, when things start to die down and you're the only person, but I would get a card every now and then. Some people even gave money because it was unexpected expense.
Absolutely.
You don't expect to bury your child. So there was the monetary help. People drop meals by, may send a text. Some called. And, you know, at the time, sometimes you're not ready to have a conversation. But it was the thought that really counted, you know? I wasn't always able to have a conversation with people. But just the people that loved on my kids, you know, they loved on our family. You know, if you need something, let me know. It was just a lot of different things, you know, that, and I can't even list it all. But when you have people that say, hey, I know what it's like to lose a child, or even if somebody's just wants to listen, they don't even have to say anything. You know, community is just so important. It's hard to move through something like this without community.
Yeah.
Can't isolate, even though you kind of do.
I mean, you want to, for
you
sure.
You want to, for sure.
Sure, you want to.
Yes.
I always encourage mom, like, I get asked a lot, and you probably do too, like, how did you get through that?
Yeah.
How do you do it?
Yeah.
The first thing I say to them is go find a friend. Mm-hmm. Go find another friend and go find another friend and make sure those friends are in three completely different circles.
Mm-hmm.
Join a book club.
Mm-hmm.
Go to a church event. Go to a mom's group. Go to a meetup. I don't care where you're finding these people, but you have got to find people in your life beyond what's on a phone,
right?
Beyond what's on a social media. Like, they have to be in flesh, you know. Social media certainly helps,
right?
You know, but you got to do that. So let's talk about finances, because I think one of the easiest practical preps we can do for Mom's Day moments is getting our finances in order.
Yes.
You know, and that is not an easy task sometimes.
Right.
And so tell me what was before, what happened during, and what is your wisdom now?
Yes. So I was substituting. I'm an educator, and I was substituting at the elementary level and as well as the intermediate and junior high. And so that was shut down. So I had to scramble and get an online tutoring job, which that's what I did. So I started tutoring Chinese students through an organization or a company. And so that gave me the income. I don't think it didn't match the income I was making before, but it was income. So not only are we going through a pandemic, not only am I still trying to help my dad, and then shortly after, you know, Uriah passes away, I had to take a month off, which I didn't really have the finances to do that, but it just had to be done. So financially going through that was very, very difficult with everything that was happening in the pandemic. And it just threw our finances, you know, in a very, we were struggling. We were struggling financially.
How much does it cost to bury a child?
So because of the fact that he was 12, he was still considered a child. But as you, you know, when they get to 13 or, you know, older, it's really more like for an adult. So I want to say, I think the overall cost was maybe around $6,000 or $7,000.
Wow.
You know, and if you try to do it for an adult, you know, it's easily $9,000.
Yeah, or more.
And I know that they gave me a discount.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. So you got through it. And what's your wisdom now? What's your sage advice?
Well, definitely be more prepared. And there was other ways I was more prepared in regards to like having documentation in place that, you know, that's something that I'd started working on. I would say have some cash. Anytime you're able to put away some money, even if it's as little as $20, put that money away because you just never know how you might receive a curveball that you didn't want, you know, to happen. You know, it could be for anything, you know, but I really would suggest that people really get on a budget, look at their finances, see how they can increase their income if they can without overextending themselves physically or emotionally or physically or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be, but really getting on one accord if they're married, if they're single, you know, see what resources are out there to assist them. Yeah. And that can be for a couple as well, you know, but really looking at how they can stay on track.
Yeah, that's hard. Finances are hard.
Yes, it is. It is.
It's hard because you got to eat. You got to pay your bills.
Right.
You know, life doesn't stop because a bomb has been dropped on your motherhood. I mean, it's that's a big one. It's a hard one. And that's really good advice. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, healing, which I have broken down into prayer, practice, and practicality. And you've already talked about that so beautifully. We're going to kind of skim over the before and during. And any, just if you could sum up one piece of advice as far as healing goes to someone who's struggling with that, what would it be?
Give yourself a lot of grace. Whole lot of grace. I need to put like multiple exclamation points behind that one.
Because we're hard on ourselves.
Yes.
I mean, we're women. Okay, so you take the womanhood part. Like, yes. We're hard on ourselves.
Tell that mean girl to be quiet. That inner mean girl, tell her to be quiet.
Were you a mean girl? I cannot picture you as being one of those one of those junior high mean girls.
No, I wasn't. But like you said, we can be so hard on ourselves.
We're so hard on ourselves.
And it's like, stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell her to stop.
Hey, back off, lady.
Right. God. Exactly. So that's one thing. Yeah.
Grace.
Grace, showing ourselves grace. And I think beforehand, I didn't show myself enough grace. But as I walked through that process, I realized I had to show myself grace.
Mm-hmm.
And even on the other side of it, I've had to show myself grace. And the Lord reminded me, no regrets.
You know, in order to have authority, we have to have grace.
Yes.
You can't have authority over something without understanding the humanity of it, you know, the salvation of it, the grace of it. You just, and I mean, it's just my opinion. Who am I? But I just think that just came to me just now. It's like, in order to have authority over something, you also have to have grace for it.
Yes.
And that it was being you, it was your pain, your grief.
Yes. And I have to let go of the people pleasing and the perfectionism and being, you know, self-critical and saying, you know what? It's not perfect. I'm here right now. You know, things may not be perfect, but guess what? I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here. So I'm just thankful that that's a lesson that I've learned in regards to making sure that even when things don't go exactly how I plan them, okay, let's move on.
Yeah.
What can I do now?
Oh,
how can I fix it?
You know, I ruminate on it. I just play it over and over in my head.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'll have the soundtrack and then I'll be like, you know what? You need to stop, mean girl.
Stop it. It's so hard.
Yes.
All right. Moving on to information.
Mm-hmm.
I think information is vital and it's key. And mm-hmm. you don't always know what the information is you're going to need for mm-hmm. a Mom's Day moment. But, mm-hmm. you know, we live in a weird world right now.
Mm-hmm.
Don't we?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just.
I agree.
You could just pick anything. Pick cell phones. Pick cyberbullying. Pick human trafficking.
Yes.
Pick food shortage. I mean, pick anything.
Yes.
And you're never. I don't know that you could ever. Like, I could have never had all the information I needed before cancer because mm-hmm. it was not on my radar
right.
to even have that.
Yes.
You know? But if you think of in the terms of before the event, during the event, after the event, and you think of just information surrounding your motherhood, what would that look like? What would that sound like?
I think as far as the information goes is, one, you can be open if someone does suggest something because, you know, there are times to where people like, hey, have you checked this out? And you can be open and say thank you. And then it's up to you of whether that fits into what you need at that moment. And it may not be right for you at that moment, maybe later down the line, you know, but I chose to look for resources that I needed. And I realized that I had to do what was best for me. So I Googled some things. I learned more about grief and I learned more about how to take authority.
Yeah.
I learned, like you said, about paying attention to my body. Paying attention to what I'm thinking, paying attention to my actions. And then I could find the resources that I needed.
Oh, that's good advice. Because, you know, when you go through these these Mom's Day moments, mm-hmm. everyone has an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone wants to shoot you an article.
Yes.
Everyone wants to say, this is what so-and-so said, and this was a clip from Dr. Phil, and this mm-hmm. was the, you know, everyone, and I think in the goodness of their heart.
Right.
Wants to reach out and not knowing how to reach out will input themselves into the story, right?
Right.
So having an open mind, because some of the advice is actually very sound.
Right.
Some of it's actually very, you know what? I never thought of that. That's actually really good. But
right.
it can be overwhelming.
It can.
Like, and you put your blinders on and mm-hmm. you're like, I can't do this anymore. And you start rocking back and forth, you know. But having that open mind, even if you just jot it down in a journal and revisit it later.
Right.
That is good advice.
Yeah. Whatever you need. Whatever you need.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Last one's a biggie.
Okay.
And I'm going to shut up and let you talk about it because I think you're very profound in that spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
So spirituality for purposes of the Mom's Day Bunker is
mm-hmm.
non-secular
mm-hmm.
because this is a motherhood
Yes.
podcast. It is a safe place for mothers
yes.
to come in and yes. say, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm feeling. But spirituality is vastly personal.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is your story.
Yes.
So getting through mm-hmm. that Mom's Day moment with your son.
Yes.
Talk to me about spirituality.
Okay. So basically, I accepted the Lord into my life years ago after I graduated from college. So it's been a part of my life. And it's been a very crucial part of my life, even going through this journey. However, when it came to counseling, I didn't just stick with Christian counseling. I had Christian mentors. But when it came to the whole grief recovery process, it was not tied to religion at all. So I don't want people to be so in a box thinking that, you know, whatever I'm going through, because a loss is a loss. A loss is a loss, whether it's losing, you know, whether it's a family member, whether it's a pet, whatever the case may be, it could be moving. Just change in general can cause grief. But I chose to look at the whole picture and realize, you know what? You know, the Lord is big in my life, but also He has put other resources out there that may not be connected to Him directly. There may be some principles that can really be beneficial. So for me in my journey, my prayer life, you know, Christian mentors, having the faith to believe and to continue. Even there's moments where I was angry with God. Let's just be honest. Let's just be honest.
Did you read my Facebook post when Hank got hit by a car?
Yeah.
I was so angry.
You know?
I was so angry.
It's, you know, I was angry. There was a moment where I was angry. But then I came back as, you know, yeah. eventually said, God, you know what? I'm sorry. And He's so loving and forgiving. And He already knows the beginning and the end. So there's purpose behind all of this. And there's moms out there that need to know, regardless of what religion they may have, that it's possible to move through this.
Do you think you could have gotten through it without spirituality?
From my perspective, I don't know if I can say yes and no.
It might be a tough question to answer.
It is a very tough question to answer. But I guess since my faith is so interwoven into my life, it almost seems like it would have been very, very difficult for me if I didn't have the faith that I have.
I just wonder if you went back to college and you came out of college and you did not receive that faith and your path went a different direction spiritually,
mm-hmm.
but you still ended up in the same physical realm that you're in, how that would have impacted you.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's something to definitely ponder on.
Deep questions in that's the mom's day bunker.
Yes, that's a very deep question. My life probably would not be the way it is. That's probably the simplest answer I can say, but I think you can probably get through anything, but it's how you get through it. Will you be able to take the authority to push past it? It was a lot of humbling experiences that I went through.
Mm.
So I had to move myself out of the way and continue to have to move myself out of the way to just say, you know what? I'm taking authority, but I'm keeping my eyes wide open and keeping my mind wide open to see what the next door is that I need to walk through. But my faith has been a huge part.
Name of your book. What is the name of your book?
So the name of the book is Covered by Scars, A Diamond Revealed. And
wow.
It's actually an anthology book. So it's other authors. And so we all have a chapter and we tell our story. And so the title of my chapter is Clawing Out of the Muddy Pit. And that's what it felt like.
So the muddy pit being the death and grief of your son? Or is
yes.
the muddy pit like the life that led you to that moment?
It was actually that whole process.
Okay.
And of course, it's a chapter, so you can only briefly talk about it. But, you know, when you think of mud, you think of just being dirty and grimy. You think of, you know, mud being under your fingernails. You think of mud being all over you, you know, and you're literally clawing yourself out of the grief and the pain and the suffering and trying to figure out what life looks like now and how you will be able to move forward. What it took to get out of that pit, but also, you know, how can you help others to get out of the pit as well? What are the takeaways that you have from walking this journey, you know, and really being able to say, yes, this was very, very painful. It was a struggle. And how do you move forward? So I pretty much start around the time when I had to walk out the hospital. I don't go into all the details about what those 24 hours before he passed were like. But I did talk about what it was like walking into that house. We all have victory. We all have moved into a better place, a better situation. We're not stuck in the grief of whatever it is that we have been through.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I think that's it. I mean, do you have anything else you want to add or anything you want to say that you didn't get a chance to say? Questions that you had or?
Well, I just appreciate you, Carrie. I appreciate you reaching out to me. I appreciate you being in my life, because not only have you impacted my life, but you've impacted Victoria's life.
Listen, I've gone this whole time without crying.
We appreciate you.
Thank you.